Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Come on in. This is Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, Monday Manna Bible Study. And we are here tonight, Monday, Valentine's Day, the night of love. Hallelujah. And we're here because Jesus first loved us. Amen.
That's right. You got it right, Lady Kim, and no greater love. And so we are definitely encouraged tonight on this Monday as we prepare for a time in the Word of God. And we praise God for each of you who will be a part of this time together. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so even on a Valentine's night, we know that someone's faith is going to be increased. And so y'all come on in, let us know the sound is good, and that we're getting a good reception. We've already checked all of our signals and everything was up and running. And so we hope and pray that you are hearing us good and that your signal is clear on the side that you're on. We welcome all of those who are on the streaming side, and of course those that we can actually view with comments and when they log on the Facebook side. So we're in the seventh chapter of Joshua tonight, and we're going to go ahead and get started. There are about, 26 verses there, and this is a very powerful chapter. We're going from a time of victory to a time of defeat, and we're going to see how that really is true even in our own lives, and how many times we can be up on the mountain one day and in the valley the next, and it all has to do with disobedience. But we'll find out how this was dealt with in this seventh chapter, and hopefully we can get some clear signals from what God is saying to us through this chapter and how we can apply it to our own lives. Happy Valentine's Day, Lady Kim. You look very refreshed and very motivated tonight.
Refreshed?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'm motivated.
You're motivated?
Yeah, I'm motivated.
But you're not refreshed?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, you said this was a night of love, didn't you? Didn't you say that?
It
or
is.
Did I miss that?
Well, every day is a day of love because Jesus loved us.
All right, but you said this night was a night of love.
Night.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
All right, I'm just making sure. All right, y'all come on in. Let us know that you're here. Sound is clear. Looks great. Okay, all right. Thank you, Minister Perkins, for that. Let's have prayer, and then we're going to get started as we prepare for tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for each person on this virtual study tonight. We pray, O Lord, that our faith will increase as a result of this time that we're going to spend together. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. So we love you and we honor you. And we decree that we shall be healed, we shall be whole, and we shall be set free. And so, God, we pray that you would just increase our faith tonight. God, we need an increase in our situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. All right. Well, the seventh chapter of Joshua. But before we go there, we're going to talk a little bit about the worship experience on yesterday. And we had a powerful worship experience on yesterday. And Lady Kim, are you going to give us a recap? Is that okay? All right. Okay.
Yes.
There are a lot of people coming on. Good to see everyone. All right. Let us know that everything is well with you. And if you have any prayer requests, go ahead and mention those early so that we can make sure that as we close out tonight, we'll include those requests in the prayer that will be prayed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On yesterday, just a short recap. Pastor has been, well, our theme for this year is the year of the abundant harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe since the very first Sunday in January, you've been preaching from, or all those who have come forth have preached from the subject of the year of the abundant harvest. Oh, bless God, a promotion.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Praise God, Brother Michael.
Praise
good
God.
Good to see you on tonight.
That's a good report.
Amen. All right, Sister Baker, that's Tierra Baker's mom. We will certainly pray
Praise
for
God.
the healing of your back. Thank you and
Amen.
welcome on tonight.
Welcome.
Again, we have been preaching. Everybody has been preaching from the theme of the Year of the Abundant Harvest. And so yesterday, your title for your sermon was, You Must Sow in Order to Make It So. You must sow, S-O-W, in order to make it so, S-O. It was awesome on yesterday, but I don't think you got a chance to finish that sermon. You had some points there, but it was so good. It just got gooder and gooder. So, you came from Genesis, the 26th chapter, verses 12 through 25, but you just honed in really on that 12th chapter, where it stated, then Isaac sold in that
the
land.
12th verse.
The 12th verse. I'm sorry, 26th chapter of Genesis, the 12th verse. Then Isaac sold in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. All that just leaped in my spirit, and that blessed me on yesterday, because, you know, a lot of times when we plant a seed, we don't expect it to come up right away.
That's right.
You know, it takes some time for that seed to germinate. It takes some time for that seed to be nurtured. It takes some time for that seed to grow. But it says Isaac sowed in the land and he reaped a hundredfold in that same year. In the same year.
In the same year. That's
so
powerful, isn't it?
Yes, that was powerful. And your first point was that you got to, the first point only, Isaac sold.
Okay.
Isaac sold. And so I believe your point is that you have to sow. Like you said, the title says, in order to make it so.
That's right.
A lot of people want to reap rewards, but they don't want to, they don't want to sow. You know, they're waiting to get paid, but they don't want to work.
That's right.
You know,
that's
what
right.
are some of the other ones you said? I'm trying to think right now.
We want to make withdrawals and not
make any deposits. That's right.
And so it is with us, and I think that's critical in terms of what we see in that 26th chapter, because the other part of it, Lady Kim, has to do with how Isaac, he sold in the place where he was. And many times we neglect the place that feeds us, the place where we are strengthened in the faith, the place where we are fed the word of God. And we wanted to make sure that we distinguish between the fact that even though it was a difficult time in the season that Isaac was in, he still rendered to God a seed. And God rewarded him not 50-fold, not 25-fold, but 100-fold.
100-fold.
In that same year. And so it is, it should be true with us. And I think the first part of that title was, this is your year for an abundant harvest. And so we have to make that personal. We have to believe that in and of ourselves and believe that God is going to do something special for us. And so obedience and fact brings the reward. Obedience releases and unlocks the things that God has already promised he would give us, but we have to sow in order to make it so. And so we can't just expect things to happen and we haven't put in any work. And so we got to make sure that we sow not only our monies. And a lot of people, when they hear that talking about sowing, they think we're definitely talking about just money. But it's about our time and our talents and our resources. And it's also about our treasures. And I wanted to spend some time there just letting people know, because many times people are of the opinion that they don't have any money to give, but they do have time, they do have talents. And from what I heard after the charge, many people came and indicated that they wanted to get to work. And so we're anticipating people using their gifts, using their talents, using their time in order to invest in the kingdom by sowing into the ministry and then using the resources that God has given them. Because if you're not reaping a harvest, it's simply because you haven't taken the time out to invest in sowing. And you cannot afford not to sow. Mm-hmm. If you are struggling with your finances, or if you're going through a very difficult time when it comes to what God has required of you financially.
And you know, that's a difficult lesson to learn for mm-hmm. a lot of people. A lot of people are waiting for God to bless.
Right. Before they...
They're waiting for God to give before mm-hmm. they give.
Right.
But
right.
God is waiting for you to give so he can give to you.
That's right.
And like you said, it's not all always money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you say blessings, people think financial blessings.
Right.
It might be your health.
That's right.
You know, it could be, you know, saving your children.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Michael, a job promotion.
That's right. Praise God.
It could be, you know, a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be your car driving another 100,000 miles without breaking down.
That's right.
So you never know what it might be. So don't think it's all about money.
Right.
You know, prosperity comes in a number of ways. Blessings come in numerous ways.
And so I think we even found out that Paul reminds us that what we sow is what we're going to get.
Mm.
And so we can't be not deceived, as he tells us in Galatians, the sixth chapter, that God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are not reaping a harvest, it's probably 9 times out of 10, it's probably because you haven't sown.
Amen.
And God will do something in an extraordinary way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And God will bless beyond measure when he recognizes our faithfulness and our willingness to trust him. And God can turn your situation around this year.
Amen.
If you are just obedient. And Isaac serves as a perfect reminder to us and a perfect example for us
mm-hmm.
that God can do it in the very same year that you plant that seed. And I just believe, Lady Kim, that many are going to plant seed, many are going to be faithful, many are going to do some things that they haven't done in the past. Many people are looking for ways to break out of the ruts that they're in, and they're trying to change their situation by themselves. But once we follow the mandate and we're obedient to the things of God, I believe a quick turnaround will happen in our situation.
Yes, Lord.
I just believe that in my spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talked about how we are living examples of, you know, looking for ways in which we can sow into the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
And before we could really, if you look at what we did and how that happened, and it was almost like before we could really get the seed in the ground,
mm-hmm.
God turned around and opened up another door and blessed us.
Mm-hmm.
And little did we know that blessing was coming.
That's right.
But many times it's attached to your faithfulness and your willingness to trust God with the little that you mm-hmm. have. For the song, I believe, says little becomes much when you place it mm-hmm. in the master's hand.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you have to be directed when you give also.
That's right.
When you
That's
plant
right.
that seed, you know. And make no mistake about it, God will direct you and give you the time and place
mm-hmm.
to sow into someone else's life.
That's
many
right.
times.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You know, it's unexpected. Most of the times it's
yeah.
unexpected.
That's right.
So, you know, you can't be God-given.
How about?
Hey, no matter how hard you try.
For the more you give,
yes,
the more he'll give to you. How
Amen.
Many of y'all believe that? Is anybody out there hearing us tonight and believing that God is going to do something in your situation? I just believe that some people on this call tonight, Lady Kim, they're going to be blessed because they're willing to trust God and they're willing to step out on their faith and call those things that be not as though they already are. I believe people are going to sow. I believe some seeds are going to be planted. And I believe God is going to do a quick turnaround in their situation, and he's going to bless beyond measure.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see Sister Loretta Rucker on
Amen.
The call tonight.
Yes, I
hope
saw
all is well with you, Loretta, and we praise God for you being mm-hmm. on tonight. And so we're just giving a little recap, and I'll be doing a part two to that sermon from this past Sunday. I saw the time getting away from us, and the atmosphere was charged with the presence of God. And I believe many people caught the vision on yesterday, and I believe God is going to reward us for what we do in private. God's going to reward us openly. I just believe that.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm getting excited. I'm about ready to go ahead and preach that again tonight. But we're going to jump into Joshua, the 7th chapter. For those of you who are with us, we encouraged you on last week to go ahead and read that 7th chapter. We finished the 6th chapter on last week, and many of you recall the 6th chapter. It was a very powerful chapter because it talked about how Joshua and the children of Israel were able to march around the Jericho wall, and how on that 7th day, after they marched around 6 days consecutively, they marched around 7 times on that final day. And then the Bible says that Joshua gave a loud shout. Isn't that what it said?
Mm-hmm.
And then the trumpet
shout.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And the trumpet blowed, and the walls came tumbling down. And so it is with us. And we used a little analogy, illustration, if you will, about when we were in the process of claiming the property and the place where we currently reside as Anointed Temple of Praise. That place had already been prayed for. It had already been circled. And we believe that God did a mighty release, and things happened in a powerful and a mighty way, because we dare to be faithful and obedient to the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so here we see in the 7th chapter, they had just had a major victory as a result of the Jericho experience. And now they're going up against this little small small area called Ai. And it was probably a battle that they could have one with their hands tied behind their back, one of them at least. But something unusual happened in this chapter, and so they moved from a place of defeat in a land of victory.
Amen.
So it's interesting how you can be on top of the mountain one day, and in the valley the next. You can be shouting the victory one day and dealing with how you're going to get out of the gutter the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of our behavior, and we'll see that coming out here as Lady Kim gets ready to read. But this really gives us a very awesome story, and it's a signal for us that there can be mountaintops of victory, but there also can be valleys of defeat, such as Ai.
Amen.
Mountaintops as it relates to Jericho, and defeats as it relates to Ai.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anything else you want to add there, Lady Kim?
Not right now.
Okay. All right. We got some more people coming in. Now, y'all go ahead and put your prayer request in. Lady Kim is taking notes. We want to make sure that we touch and agree and believe God with you for what you are believing to happen in your situation. And we see quite a few of you have already indicated that you have some concerns. And we believe that the effectual fervent prayers mm-hmm. of the righteous availeth much. And so we know that God is going to do something extraordinary, because we dare to trust him and believe him, even when it comes to us asking him to do something in our situations. All right. So let's look at Joshua, the 7th chapter. Those of you who have your tablets or your Bibles, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. There are only 26 verses here in this 7th chapter. And so, Lady Kim, let's maybe read the first 11 verses.
Okay.
And see if we can't stop there and then talk about some of the things that have transpired in those verses.
Okay. Again, we're in the 6th chapter of Joshua, 7th chapter mm-hmm. of Joshua, beginning at the first verse. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of, I was practicing these names when I was studying too.
Achan,
son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of the tribe of Judah took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel.
Wow.
Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avan, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there until evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we could have been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemy? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I have commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions.
Okay, and that's through verse number
11.
That's the seventh chapter of Joshua. Lady Kim just finished reading those first 11 verses. Other prayer requests are yet coming in. And we see that this title can very well be called Defeat in the Land of Victory, because that first verse really is self-explanatory, I believe, and it sets the stage for what's happening in this whole chapter. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
For they had already disobeyed, and they were already disobedient even before they prepared to go up against Ai. And what was the disobedience? What was that all about?
Well, you know, when they went in to destroy Jericho, when they marched around and the walls came tumbling down, God told them, go in and take, when you take, if you take anything, or when you take something, take the gold, the silver, the iron, and it is to be set aside for my house. And don't take anything for yourselves.
Right.
You know, and he had some people, some Israelites, to go in, and they took some of the things. And God was displeased with that. And so God punished them, and we're going to see that in a minute, because they stole the and they called them the devoted things.
The devoted things,
those things that were to be devoted to God, devoted to the temple. And so God was angry with them, and so he punished them.
Okay. And so he had already given them instructions long before they committed the crime.
Absolutely. Everyone knew what the rules were. He said, go in and you know, don't take anything for yourselves personally.
But we need to use the things that we do get from Jericho to build the treasury in a real sense.
Right.
So that the work of God might continue to go forth.
Right.
And so what happens here is that you see, first of all, a disobedient soldier. And then I think secondly, you see a defeated army. And then thirdly, you will see here a discouraged leader. And I think all of that really kind of coincides, because the soldier was disobedient. The army became defeated. And then Joshua became discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And God really had to deal with Joshua on a personal level and help him overcome, because Joshua was really reflecting and reminiscing and talking about going back and why did the Lord bring them this far and then allow a little country like Ai to wipe them out like he did. And when I said they could have easily beat them with one hand tied behind their back, because the spies had already gone in and they had observed, and they said, no, we can take this. We can take them. I mean, this one, we don't even need to send our whole army in for this.
Just a few people. Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, when they went up against Ai whooped them so bad till they lost about 36 soldiers, and they took off. They didn't understand where all that pressure was coming from, because they had no clue that they were going to be up against that kind of force, because they had already won one victory, and they knew that they had the strength, they had the military power and the might to defeat Ai.
Amen.
But little did they know that there was someone in the camp, there were several people in the camp, and God was displeased with their behavior. And that's this key right here, because one of the things we need to never underestimate the amount of damage one person can do outside of the will of God.
Amen.
And so, you know, and that really kind of carries over even into the life of the church, because Paul, even in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and you can read that at your leisure. We're not going to try to pick up all of that. He talked about the how when sin is present, and how things will defy the whole church because it's not dealt with. But he's letting the church at Corinth know that they must deal with disobedience. They must handle the situation, because disobedient behavior can really destroy the whole church if it's not dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I want to just talk about that for a minute, Lady Kim, because people begin to make all kind of excuses, and they come up with all kind of things as to why for their behavior. And they fail to realize that if their behavior is not dealt with, it can destroy the whole church.
Mm.
And so people, sometimes when you try to discipline them because of a behavior that's permeating through the church, and people are getting weary and frustrated by one person's single act, now yet not dealt with, can really dishearten the whole congregation.
Mm.
If they are out of order, if they are not trying to be the people of God and have their behavior match their belief, it can really permeate the whole church, and it can cause a disruption and a confusion. But God wants leaders particularly, and he was dealing with Joshua on this, to hold those people accountable who are acting disobedient, and they are not doing what God has required of them to do.
Amen. Amen. And that's when you said that, you know, one disobedient person can damage the whole bunch or the whole group. I thought about when that people used to say one bad apple.
Mm-hmm.
It can spoil the whole bunch.
Yeah, that's right.
If you don't get it out of the way.
That's right.
So you leave one rotten apple in the barrel, pretty soon all the other apples are going to be blemished and spotted and eventually go bad also. So you have to deal with that blemish.
That's right. You have to
deal with that rotten core.
You have to take it out.
Yes.
Because even with our little fruit, is it a basket that we have in there where we put our oranges and our apples? I love fruit, by the way, and that's one of my favorites. And then I love Bluebell ice cream, black walnut, and I love me some popcorn. So I might make me some popcorn. I cook my popcorn on top of the stove and do it the old-fashioned way. But what I'm getting at is that the oranges and the apples that we have in this little basket that we put our fruit in, many times if an apple begins to spoil, if you don't catch it, you can pick up one apple that has already come in contact with that bad apple, and you'll notice it's a rotten spot in the apple.
Mm-hmm.
And many times it's not from just observation, it's from when you bite it. But, and you say, well, something is not right, and you're looking at and that the rest of the apples or the rest of the fruit, and you notice that there's something in that apple or that or orange or whatever it might be is normally at the bottom or close to the bottom, but it's coming up all the way to the top almost, and it's affecting all of those the fruit that's closely associated to the spoil mm-hmm. or the bad one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay. And so the fruit doesn't stay in there very long because I eat two or three oranges in a sitting, and I'll eat a couple of apples right behind that. And I'll do my little juice and sometimes in the morning and mix it up and cut them up real good. But we have to be mindful of that. That's what I'm getting around to. See if there are any comments there, Lady Kim. We have to be mindful of our behavior. Because sometimes people are wondering why things are not going at the rate that they should be going, or why things are not progressing the way they think it ought to. And many times it's because there are some people in the camp, some people in the church, whose behavior is not matching their belief and it's not lining up with the vision and the direction that God has given the leader in terms of which way they should go.
Well, that's deep right there.
It is. It's real deep.
That our ministry can be hindered
mm-hmm.
basically by the actions of some people.
Yeah.
You know, being disobedient,
mm-hmm.
a disobedient mm-hmm. soldier.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was, what's his name?
Achan. Mm-hmm.
Achan was the disobedient soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Calhoun, Michelle says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's mm-hmm. in Galatians 5:9. That's right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we read the first 11 verses. I don't know if Lady Kim is going to let me take her for a spin for Valentine's or not, but... we've already did some pre-Valentine before tonight because we didn't want to miss Bible study.
That's right.
And
we
so,
went out Saturday night.
Saturday night. And
he took me out Saturday night.
I cooked yesterday and
yes, he did.
Went shopping.
He did.
And we talked about Lady Kim's, how she's very frugal when it comes to shopping. But, you know, I have to encourage her. And many times she... If y'all wouldn't believe this, but those of you who've been with Lady Kim when she goes shopping, she said, "Well, I just don't feel like shopping. We'd be in the store. We'd be in the mall."
I have to feel it.
And she said, "I just don't feel like shopping."
Now, when I shop, I can shop now, but I have to feel it. Okay, so yeah.
So I went out and I went and got some things for her.
Some beautiful things.
And so I wanted to make sure you want to go get that up. Go get that arrangement right there. No, don't do it. Don't even. We're not going to do that tonight. But what are we talking about?
We're talking about Joshua.
Oh, okay. We're in Joshua, the 7th chapter on Valentine's night. Hallelujah. And Super Bowl weekend. And
amen.
Did y'all get a chance to watch the Super Bowl? Did y'all get a chance to see the halftime and all of that? But this has been a real powerful, power-packed weekend. And a lot has been going on. But we are still here. And we praise God for Monday night, a love night that we're going to just continue to talk about what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Any other comments there, Lady Kim?
No, no.
Everybody's gotten real quiet. Somebody, y'all let me know, y'all, can y'all hear us?
They can hear
us. I don't see any comments. Okay, all right. All right, so...
we stopped at verse 11.
So Achan's first mistake was that he took these spoils that were not supposed to be his, right?
Yeah, right.
And he hid them, and he classified them as his own.
Mm-hmm.
And God had already given him instructions that he should not take the spoils. Thank you, Brother Robert. I'm glad somebody here can hear. No, I'm just messing with you, but thank you. And the third thing was that he coveted something that really didn't belong to him. There's a lot there, Reverend, because many times we can do things in a way that we covet what does not belong to us, you know, and people have to be mindful of that, because that doesn't bring a smile on God's face. Mm-hmm. And it can really cause damage. And it's the little subtle things, and I think somebody already said a little leaven, you know, it's the little things that many times we have to be mindful of.
And you know, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because he took the devoted things, mm-hmm. and he didn't just put them on the shelf in his mm-hmm. house.
No.
He buried it.
He hid them.
He That's buried right. it, you know, and he put the silver deep down in there, and then he put other stuff on top of it.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
and then he covered it up.
This is the seventh chapter of Joshua now, for those of you who are just joining
and,
in.
Yes, and we'll see that in just a minute.
Okay. And so we have to be mindful of trying to hide that which doesn't belong to us but belongs to God. And we have to be mindful of our behavior and make sure that our behavior now matches our belief. Because if not, it can really hinder the move of God in the life of the church, just like it did for this situation with Joshua. And they had a small country called Ai that they could easily wipe them out. They didn't even send the full range of soldiers in, and they got whooped and they got beat up real bad. And sometimes even in the church and in the life of believers, it's those small things. And we just say, well, why we couldn't do that? I mean, what happened? You know, it can not just be the church. It can be in your family. It can be, you know, in a relationship that can really hinder the move of God. And the little things that you think you ought to have victory over, you stumbling and bumbling and fumbling and not being able to progress and make headway and the things that you know you ought to be able to overcome, is because something is not right and some behavior is not matching up with the belief that God has.
Mm-hmm. And so that's at that point you need to stop and take inventory.
That's right. That's
of
right.
What it is that's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not making the progress that you know you should be making,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Where's the disobedience?
Right.
You know, where's what is the thing that's hindering from going forward?
Right.
In this case, it was the disobedience, because they had taken something that God told them. Well, he told them that he instructed them to take it, but he told them where it should go.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it for themselves. They were selfish.
Right.
And so being selfish can mm-hmm. hinder a lot of things.
Wow, that's good. All right, we're in the seventh chapter of Joshua. Lady Kim has already read the first 11 verses, and we've described a very important lesson for us. We see here a disobedient soldier. We see a defeated army, and now we're going to see and I think we read a little bit of it in those 11 verses, how Joshua was discouraged and how all of that runs hand in hand, because Joshua was about ready to give up. I mean, they had just had a major victory, and he's down on his face, and God had to deal with him and said, mm-hmm. Joshua, get up, man,
mm-hmm.
you know, get up. And he called the people together to do an investigation to find out where the disobedience was and had to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are we ready to do the next? You want to read the rest of that, or you want to just, time's getting away from us. You want to read all of the rest of that, or you want to just break it up?
It's on you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's do from 11 to 12 through 15.
All right.
Well, that's only what, 3 verses? Let's maybe do 12 through 20.
Okay.
All right. Seventh chapter.
Seventh chapter of Joshua, the 12th verse. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemy until you remove them. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord chooses shall come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord chooses shall come forth family by family.
Mm-hmm.
And the family that the Lord chooses shall come forward man by man. Whoever is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forth by tribes, and Judah was chosen. The clan of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zamari was chosen. Joshua had the family come forward man by man,
mm-hmm.
and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zamari, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me."
Wow. Go ahead and read. Continue to read. I want to say like that, the preacher you just say, but
read.
Yeah.
Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. That is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighty 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all of Israel, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkey, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him.
Wow.
And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, the place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since.
Hmm. Isn't that something? That's powerful. So the Lord deals with, God deals with Joshua. He's discouraged. He gives him instructions how to deal with the reproach that has occurred in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about how when he went through the tribes, how the tribe that Achan was in, he was called to come forth and represent. And he did, in fact, confess. And as a result of what happened, we see a discouraged leader, but we also see a discovered sinner.
Mm.
And God had to...
That'll preach right there.
That's right. God had to pinpoint the situation in order for the children of Israel to continue to have victory and to be victorious.
Amen.
Victory and victory, same thing, but you follow what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You give them a drip. Yes. Go ahead. You got something on your mind. Go and say it before you lose that thought. Well, one of the things that happens here in the investigation where God caused Joshua to call all of the tribes together and have a representative to come forth, here it is. You can't hide from God.
Mm-mm.
God has a way of finding you out. He has a way of finding out. He gets to the bottom of things. Confession is good for the soul. But in this case, God had to make an example out of Achan so that the people would know that that was something that would not be tolerated by God.
God ain't playing.
He ain't playing.
He was not playing.
And so the place where they stoned him and the place where his body was put to rest under the stones is still in existence from what they say today.
They stoned him and then burned him. And the whole family.
Yep.
The whole family. That's rough.
That is. That's rough. And so that's the judgment that happens as a result of a disobedience and a behavior that's not matching the belief that we have in God.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments there?
Sister Gwen said, in many instances, our words will allow us entry into places and organizations where our bad behavior can be displayed. We don't always tell the truth about our beliefs. We misrepresent to get where we want to be. Politics and the church are examples of this.
That's good. That's good. And so when we get a chance to hear examples like this in this seventh chapter, it ought to allow our spiritual antennas to go up, and it should prick our hearts and our minds. And we don't need to wait for it to get as bad as it did with Achan and his family. But I think God is a God of mercy. He's a God of another chance, a second chance, and another chance. And so if we but confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us and make us whole. And so we have to, like you said earlier, Lady Kim, we really have to get to a place of reckoning with ourselves. And even as we are moving through the first part of this year, we need to get our house in order and make sure that we are not the one, our family is not the one that's holding back the things that God is trying to accomplish. Or even in your own household, we're just putting it on a level of the church because they were dealing with the children of Israel. Even in your own household, even in your relationship, there needs to be a reckoning if you want to move forward and you want to advance in the things of God. Then God requires of us to really get our house together.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Anything else you want to share there? Because we're about to come to the close of this particular chapter. And this is a very good chapter. We hope that y'all will go back and reflect on it and read it and meditate on it and seek God's face. But there's a very powerful lesson here that can be learned from this this seventh chapter. What would you have to add to that and draw a conclusion to the seventh chapter?
Well, one of the things is that we are not to continue in our sins, even though Achan, what's his name?
Achan. Mm-hmm.
Came forward and he admitted his sinfulness. God still dealt with him. And, you know, even in our sinfulness, God is still going to deal with us. We don't get off scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the lessons that we need to learn from this particular chapter is that we are not to continue in sin.
Okay.
Achan defying the Lord's command to turn all things to him after they defeated the Canaanites, he kept some of the post-battle spoils for himself.
Mm-hmm.
The sin of one man caused all of Israel to fail in the battle. They were defeated by Ai.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in essence, it's saying that you can fail miserably in some of the things in your life simply because you were disobedient
to
God.
That's right. And so we have to go back and retrace our steps, and we have to go back and confess our sins. We have to go back and allow God to really deal with our hearts. And it was David who said, create within me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. And I think when we are serious about that, God looks at our hearts. He understands when we are sincere about what we're asking and what we are seeking for him and for him to do in our situations. And God will honor that. And many times we have to release it into the atmosphere, and we have to speak it in order for it to become real to us. Because you can do wrong so long, Lady Kim, mm-hmm. till you think it's right. Right. Mm-hmm. And we know, you know, all of us who are mature, and we have matured to a certain level, we know wrong is wrong and right is right. I mean, you really don't have to teach people how to be wrong. You have to teach people how to do right. You know, even little kids, you know, they learn the bad behaviors, but you have to correct those behaviors and show them the right way.
Amen.
And so that's why Bible study and studying the Word of God and being in depth in terms of being sincere about getting a clear understanding from the Word, it can revolutionize your whole situation. If you're but faithful and obedient, God will reward you according to your obedience, and obedience releases the rewards that and the blessings that God has for our lives.
Amen.
So I'm excited about this seventh chapter. And next week we're going to be in the eighth chapter, and we're going to be talking about how they began to move forward after they had to deal with the issue at AI. But God is not finished with us yet. And as many as received him, the Bible says, to them gave he power. He gave them power, even to those who believed on his name. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that we come to a place of reckoning.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
Place of reckoning.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the study for tonight. And we have quite a few requests that have come through. Are there any other prayer requests that we need to lift up for those of you who perhaps didn't hear us when we first came on after we had indicated that we wanted you to go ahead and give us those prayer requests? We're going to ask Lady Kim to give us any final updates and any reminders as we prepare to close out tonight.
Amen. Well, just wrote down those prayer requests, and then I had a few that we wanted to mention. Of course, we're praising God for Brother Michael Liggins and his new promotion. We pray God's blessings on you and your promotion. And then Sister Darlena Baker, and I said it was Tierra Baker's mother. I forgot it's Tierra Baker Montgomery.
That's right.
Ms. Montgomery, her mother, asked for healing for her back. And so we're speaking that into the atmosphere. Prayers for Mariah Jones for healing. A prayer for Carmen Seta Sharkey and the loss of a loved one. Sister Deborah Taylor texted me, and Brother Daryl Taylor is in the hospital and at Baptist East. We want to lift him up in a mighty way. And also we want to lift up the father of our congregation, Brother William Hughes. He's at Germantown Methodist. He's scheduled to have surgery on tomorrow. Also, we want to lift up the father of Sister Iman Brown, Brother Glenn Knox. Lift up Brother Joe Lifford. That's the father of Brother Stanley Lifford. And we want to lift up Sister Gwen Staples' son-in-law, Al Rogers, who is scheduled to have surgery, and also Brother Robert Jefferson's mother, Dorothy Foster. We want to lift her up in prayers,
okay.
In our prayers.
Okay. Thank you so very much for each of you sharing those requests. Lady Kim is going to lead us in a closing prayer, and we know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. And so we've got to believe that God is going to do exactly what he said he would do. His promises are sure, and his satisfaction is guaranteed.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer tonight. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our voices, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our soul to you, God, in prayer. We thank you, God, for tonight's lesson, oh God, reminding us that disobedience can, oh God, hinder your plan for our lives. So we ask, oh God, that we have obedient spirits, God, that we react to your word in a positive way. And we thank you tonight, God, for allowing us to glean from this word in the book of Joshua. God, we thank you for blessing Brother Michael Liggins with that promotion. And God, we ask that you would move him up even higher in the name of Jesus. Continue to provide for he and his family, God, as he looks to the hills from which cometh his help.
Hallelujah.
Because we know that all of our help comes from you. We lift up Sister Baker tonight, God. Touch her back, God, in the name of Jesus. Relieve any pain that she might be feeling.
God,
I call into alignment, God, all the spine right now, God.
Do it, God.
We call into alignment anything that's out of place, oh God.
Yes, God.
And we ask for your healing virtue to take place in her body, God.
Yes, God.
We pray for healing for Mariah Jones tonight, God. You know all about her because you made and you created her. So heal her right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We're calling out Brother Daryl Taylor to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch his body tonight,
God.
We ask, oh God, that you would bring his mind back, God. He's confused right now. But God, we thank you that you're healing him, God.
Thank you, God.
That you're bringing back to his remembrance those things, oh God, that he needs to remember in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for his healing tonight, God.
We thank you for it.
We lift up Father Hughes tonight, God. Oh God, we ask, oh God, healing virtue to take place, God, as he goes in for surgery tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
We ask that you cover him, God,
in the name of Jesus.
Strengthen his heart tomorrow,
God.
Strengthen his body tomorrow, God. That he might come through that surgery, oh God, and that his body might be healed. We lift up Al Rogers to you,
God,
as he prepares for surgery. God, heal his body
in the name of Jesus.
We lift up Glenn Knox and Joe Lifford and Dorothy Foster to you, God. Oh, God, they're your children.
Yes,
you know them, oh, God, better than they know them themselves, God. You even number the hairs on their heads. So we lift them up to you tonight, God, and we ask that you would heal them, God, in the name of Jesus. So, God, we thank you tonight.
We thank you, God.
We thank you tonight.
We thank you,
God. We ask that you would bless Anointed Temple of Praise, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, continue to give us vision and momentum to go forward to be the church that you would have us to be.
Thank you, God.
And we thank you tonight, God, for allowing us, oh God, to be a blessing to those in need. Continue to be our source and our resource, oh God. Continue to provide resources that that overflow in abundance so that we can help your people. And we love you, we bless you, we thank you, we honor you, we thank you for our loved ones tonight, God, this being Valentine's Day, Valentine's night. We thank you, oh God, for the love that surpasseth, oh God, that the love that encompasses, God. We thank you for the love of our family, our loved ones, our spouses, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, those, oh God, who pour into our lives day after day.
Thank you, God.
And that allow us to go forth in this life. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name
we pray.
Amen. And
hallelujah.
God.
And praise his name.
Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's.
My Valentine.
All right. Bless you.
My
bless
funny
you.
Valentine.
My funny Valentine. All right.
Good night.
Y'all be blessed. We'll
Thank
see you.
You
next time.
Bye.
Be encouraged. All right.